You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Momoosi, alongside me as always, three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, what's good, brother?
Hey, how we doing? How we doing, Mo? How we doing?
Hey, we blessed. The NBA continues to roll on before it takes a little break for All-Star Weekend. BJ, let me ask you a question. You know, as a fan of basketball, sometimes it feels like this period in between the trade deadline and All-Star Weekend, because previously they had the trade deadline at All-Star Weekend, they moved it around a little bit, but right now it feels like this period of basketball in between trade deadline and All-Star Weekend, it's not really real. Does that make sense?
Well, it's anticlimactic. You know, it's kind of like the trade deadline happened. Everyone is excited talking about all of the trades, and then all of a sudden it's like All-Star Weekend. It's like a letdown.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. What do we have to look forward to? So now the teams that you know aren't gonna make the playoffs, what are they looking forward to? You know, if your team has injured players on it, now you're concerned about not making the playoffs when you probably should make the playoffs. If your team is, you know, lost, I don't know, 7 out of the last 8, you're upset. And if your team has won 9 out of the last 10, now you're afraid, or you're concerned, I should say, what the break is going to do. Because you know these guys are probably going on a mini vacation, and you don't know how that's going to play out.
I know how it's going to play
out. And you just hope Mo is not joining your favorite team on vacation. Because that means your second half of the season is not going to be good.
So, well.
There's lucky, a lot of concern here. There's a lot of concern here.
Lucky for the fans of the Chicago Bulls, I will not be joining the Chicago Bulls in their All-Star Weekend break.
How come?
Well, they were down by 42 points to the Pistons at halftime last night. I didn't even watch the second half. I don't even know what happened in the second half. But down 42 at the half, man. Yeah. I already had my rant about Chicago Bulls. I'm just gonna say it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say, Chicago Bulls owners, if you're listening, hire Scott Perry. That's your only solution here. That's your only salvation here. You're cooked. You're finished. You're rubbish.
Yeah.
Rubbish. Shout out to the Pistons, though. Pistons won again.
Yeah. Pistons are looking good.
Should I tell you something cool that happened last night? Kevin Durant just became the 8th player ever in NBA history to score 30,000 points, right?
How about that? Congratulations.
Congratulations to KD. But do you know the craziest part of it? KD, throughout his career so far, has missed 20% or almost 20% of his team's games. If he had only missed 10% of his team's games, he'd be on over 34,000 points and already 4th all-time in scoring. So the fact that he's the 8th highest scorer in NBA history, missing 20% of his games, I think that's pretty impressive.
You know, you hear me say this all the time, you know, your health matters. And you have to obviously take care of yourself as best you can, but you got to get lucky along that journey, because injuries are part of the game. So, you know, I'm fortunate to say I've seen KD play since high school. That's the one thing that I've loved about the game and what I do, is I watch these players, not when they just get to the NBA, not become a fan when they just become to the NBA or they achieve something. You get a chance to watch these young people grow and watch how they mature and how they evolve as players, as people, as young adults. And I can still remember watching KD play in high school at an AAU tournament. I remember watching him play. And I was just telling my oldest son, we went to the game the other night, to the Laker game the other night, and he asked me, when was the first time you saw LeBron? And I said, I remember watching LeBron as a 9th grader.
That's crazy.
In high school. I remember watching Luka Doncic at Real Madrid.
Yeah, I remember that.
So most of these players, Anthony Davis, I remember him
He was a point
as
guard in high
a,
school.
yeah, I was there. I watched him
In
play
Chicago, yeah.
in Chicago. So that's the fun part of watching. You watch these players evolve. You get a chance sometime to know their families, to know them. But when you watch, I vividly remember watching LeBron play. And I know it was in Ohio. Might have been Akron, I can't remember exactly, but I remember watching him play and thinking, how could a kid be like six? He was like 6'6" or 6'7"
He
as
was
a
a grown
freshman
man in high school.
at high school. And I remember he had these two patches on his shoulders. And I was like, what are the patches for? Why does he have patches? I hadn't seen that before. There's like, you're not allowed to show your tattoos in high schools. And he was just flying around and he played the point guard position in high school. And he was just, you could see it then. So that's the fun part of the business. That would be great when you start watching these players and you can see how they develop and you see how they grow and you see how they accept the responsibility. And but more importantly, you see how they impact winning. That's the most important thing. So, but yeah, that's always fun. That's always been the fun part. I love the game. I love the game. I love being in the gym. I love watching the players. And you love the when you see the coaches, young coaches. You see everything. The referees. I used to know all the young referees because my dad was a referee, and you would see those guys suddenly pop up one day. You see them on college games, and then some of them would go on to graduate and become professional. So that's the cool part of being around the game and watching the game for so many years. You see all the people and the people who play it and coach it, and then you meet people like Mo.
You ain't see me play in high school.
I did not see you play in high school.
Oh, back when I had two functioning knees, those were the days. Those were the days. I could jump, run. Hey, man. But, speaking of LeBron, speaking of the Lakers, they have made an addition to their roster. Free agent Alex Len is going to be signing with the Los Angeles Lakers after the rescinded Mark Williams trade. Give them some depth in that front court. A lot of people, BJ, are talking about, why don't the Lakers go and sign a guy like Dwight Howard or DeMarcus Cousins or JaVale McGee? Can you shed some light on?
I have no idea. I'm going to ask the question. Okay, I would think with a roster like this, you want a certain type of player, like a more athletic big, and nothing against who they chose. However, I would assume the following. As an executive, when you put together a roster, and I learned this as an executive, when you put together a roster and you put together a team, the one thing that you try to do is you put together a team with your coaching staff, but you want to influence who plays and who doesn't. So, for instance, one through, let's say one through eight, those are your players. Right? Those are your players. You want to make sure the top eight guys who play that you're comfortable with those guys. Nine through 12, you will consult with your coach. That's how this works. One through eight is you. You're gonna like every player that's there. The first five, you're in total agreeance. Six, seven, and eight, maybe one can start. Maybe you think they should play more. But nine through 12, you'll normally give to your coach. Okay. When you have one of those guys that are in the top eight, this is for you, Mo. you make sure that you don't overvalue that player, and then all of a sudden your top eight player doesn't play. So why would you not get a JaVale McGee? Why would you not get a Dwight Howard? Because the coaches probably would play them above your current player that you have at that position. And then suddenly, now that's why did you not get those players before them? Are you going to admit that you made a mistake? You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that to ownership. So I think the reason they're not going to play is because they've committed to the kid. What's the kid that's playing there
Jackson
now?
Hayes.
Yes. I think they've committed to him. I think the management team has committed to him. Because if you got JaVale or you got Dwight Howard, those guys are going to play.
Well, they haven't committed to him because they're ready to trade for Mark Williams.
Okay. All right. How do I put it another way? You can trade for him, but you gave away Canuck.
Connect.
Connect.
Canuck.
You gave away Connect. Well, you didn't give away. You traded for Connect. You're not going to trade for a player Connect and not trade for a player that. Now you can say that. If you get a player and you trade for that player and you don't play, they can be like, well, why did you trade for him then? You understand? Everything you do,
It's
you got to
different to a free
justify.
agent. Yeah.
Yes. If you get a player in free agency who hasn't played and all of a sudden he just walks in and starts playing above the guy that you've had all year, why did you go get him? So that to me makes sense.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not gonna trade away Connect and then all of a sudden not play the guy that I traded for. Because you're not gonna answer that question. Well, we just basically gave away Connect and then we're not gonna play the player. So I think that's my best guess. I don't know. All I know is that, you try to get players here you think could help the team. But again, I could be entirely wrong. The coaches could have more influence than maybe I think, but normally that's how it happens.
You know, one thing I think about sometimes, back when Shaquille O'Neal was in his prime, teams around the NBA, and Scott spoke about this, one time when he was on the show, teams around the NBA loaded up on big bodies to essentially absorb fouls on Shaquille O'Neal and play minutes against him when they went to match up with him in the playoffs. The Lakers, they seem to get owned by Nikola Jokic in the playoffs every year. So you would think that they would want to load up on guys that could take minutes, even if they're not playing throughout the season. But when it comes to that matchup, if they were to face the Nuggets in the postseason, that you would want to have guys out there. Like, I don't know. I think Jackson Hayes is a talented player and Luka's going to make his life easier. I don't know how he's going to be able to guard Jokic. I don't know how Alex Len is going to guard Jokic. Dwight did a pretty good job against him in the bubble. Not that he slowed him down or stopped him, but he could get under his skin at least. How much do teams kind of weigh in individual matchups in the process of, signing or training for guys?
Based on what I know and I've come to understand about this generation of executives is that they rely heavily on the analytics. When you ask every team, when you speak with these teams, the first thing they do is they want to address shooting. And you always make fun of me, true shooting percentage and PER and all of these things. And every year, I seem to get in a debate on what's important to winning the game. But they're telling me about where we want to sh we want to play a five out offense. And I'm like, okay, well, who's going to rebound the ball? Well, we like to gang rebound. Okay. We want to play fast. We want to play up tempo. We want to do, our offense is based on, all these things. And I'm like, okay, well, who's going to set a screen so that you can do all these things? Well, the way we play, we like to play with the flow. Okay. All right. And then we get to the playoffs, Mo, and Jokic just quietly goes about 40, 20, and whatever, 8, 10. And every year we ask the same question. So I think now the influence lies with the analytics. I think the influence lies with shooting and five out offense and small ball and all those things. And then every year, the bigs are that's the last position. The five position has been the last position that has made that has transitioned into the small ball era. So I you could see teams slowly going about it. You can look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, look at your Boston Celtics, look at the Milwaukee Bucks, look at the Denver Nuggets. These teams, look at the Dallas Mavericks. Everyone is trending towards taller players, bigger players. You can see with the signing of the San Antonio Spurs, what they just did, right? They're getting bigger players to play alongside Wembanyama. So I just think it's just a it just takes time for people to understand if you're going to win, you need big guys. You have to control what's happening on the floor. And the big guys do that, especially when the game slows down, like we all know it will do. And it just takes time before people can commit to that level because you're not going to beat Jokic playing small ball.
Here's a question for you. If you were building a team and you had to guard Jokic for a 7-game series, who would you want playing at the five on your team? Any player in the NBA.
Well, when I look at Jokic, okay. First of all, he's a big guy. He's not tall. He's a big guy. So I want big guys to play against him, right? And I'm not saying this because I've worked with this player, but I want players, that can play against him with the level of physicality that I want to play with. Like I'm a firm believer with this, and I learned this playing in the NBA. I learned this watching the NBA. You must meet the game at the physicality that the game presents itself. Okay? For instance, the late great Moses Malone. He played the game with a level of physicality. You couldn't play the game a finesse game with him. You had to meet it there. Charles Barkley, you had to meet it there. There was just,
Shaq.
yeah, you got to just meet it. Like you can't like, well, I'm going to play against Shaq and we're going to politely double team him. No, he would rip your head off, okay? You had to meet the game with that level of physicality. So with Jokic, I want to meet the physicality of that game. And that would be like Bismack Biyombo for me. I want to meet him with that. I'm not looking to, I can't stop him, but there's one thing I'm going to meet him with. I'm going to meet him with six fouls, and we're going to play tough. There's going to be no flopping here. There's going to be no bull guarding here. There's going to be no intimidation here. We're going to play a hard game. And the reason I say that is because if there's one thing I really respect about Jokic, there's a lot of things, but there's one thing, he doesn't flop. He's bringing, like he's bumping you with his chest, and if you can't take it, he'll run right through you. So I'm going to meet that first. I'm going to meet the bump. Okay, he's going to score 40 anyway, but he's going to score the 40, and he's going to feel the physicality of the game. The second thing I would do is you can't play him with two small players. You got to play him with two or more bigs. So I'm going to meet a player that can play with his level of physicality and who plays that way. Like Chet Holmgren, for instance. Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama, they just can't meet the physicality of the game yet.
There are a couple of guys in the league that do a weirdly good job. Well, not even a good job, because Jokic will still
Okay.
probably have a triple double.
Okay,
But
who was that?
Wendell Carr, when he's matched up with Jokic,
I haven't watched that matchup enough.
okay,
Okay.
next time they play, just keep an eye on it. Like
Okay.
Jokic will still have like 20 and 17. Like there's no one that can guard him. But Wendell Carr does all right. Grant Williams used to do very well against Jokic when he was on the Celtics. That's why he had the Batman meme. I don't know if you ever
Okay.
saw that. He came to the
Didn't.
post-game interview with a Batman mask on because he stopped the Joker. Yeah, one really good game against him. Jakob Poeltl seems to kind of get under the Joker's skin a little bit as well. Like, but the thing is, no one does a good job against him. You
No, it's just
can't.
saying
No one can do a good
you
job
have
against
to
him.
meet him. You have to meet him and say, okay, I'm strong enough to play against him. I'm big enough to like absorb the physicality of that matchup. And then you're going to need help from the weak side so he can't be twisting and turning. And more importantly, you can't allow him to throw direct passes. So you can't double team him with a smaller guy because he'll pass right over the top. So that's why you have to play him with big guys. Okay, when you're playing against a great big player, a great big player who can pass, you have to make them throw lob passes or a bounce pass. So that allows your defense to get in rotation. So that's what I would do. I'm not into all of this, whatever, the things they say now, the five. I'm not into that. No, I'm going to control the paint. I'm going to control that area. I'm going to control the physicality of the game. I want to play against him with guys like I don't think he's big enough. Isaiah Stewart, like for instance,
This is what I'm saying. Just get under his skin and irritate him.
Jalen. No, well, I don't want to irritate him. I just want him to know he can't just bump me off the box. I just want him to be able to say, okay, I got to fight a little bit down here. Like he's a big guy. You can't play him with a smaller big man because he'll shoot right over the top of you. He doesn't, he understands his true superpower. So you have to be able to meet him at least and to neutralize that so that you can get a double team. And that is what the not Milwaukee, the Minnesota Timberwolves did. They were able to just meet him with enough big guys so that he couldn't be twisting and turning and reposting and all those things. So that would be my goal. I would love to have seen a young Steven Adams, for instance, play against him. St young Steven Adams and Serge Ibaka, for instance, would be great. I think this young kid, Edie, is strong enough to play against him. And then you have Jared Jackson, who could be the big who double teams him. See, so there are players, there are teams, and if you're going to beat him, you need taller players. You can't beat him playing small ball. He's too good. So that would be my I would make sure that I always but I always have a player like that. I have to play like Udonis Haslem. I have to have a player like that. That to me is what every team you had to ha you have to have. You got to have a player who can play that game. All of this fade away and all that stuff. No, I'm gonna win the game on the floor, and so I want to be able to match that physicality.
You mentioned Bismack Biyombo, friend of the show. Shout out to Bismack, by the way. Signed a deal with the Spurs.
Yes, great.
He didn't play in their last game, but hopefully he gets
No,
some run
no.
out there. I think I said it on this show. I don't know if anyone remembers or if anyone can find the clip for me, but I said that they need some physicality off their bench. And then I think I said something like, "Is that the Bismack Biyombo theme song?" And then you laughed. And then now he signed with the Spurs.
He signs. As Mo, I'm secretly I love bigs. I love
It's not a
the
secret.
taller
You've
guy.
said it on this show about 400 times.
Okay.
There's no
So
more secrets, Lee. There's no more
for
secrets.
instance, like one of the great signings in this trade deadline was Valanciunas.
Yeah, because the Sacramento now have 48 minutes of rebounding, punching you in the
See,
face,
so
going to get
Valanci
balls.
like for instance, Valanciunas and those guys. If I was a big, I don't want to play against Valanciunas and Biyombo and those guys are like strong. Those guys are like,
Enforcers is the word.
yes, they play, but they play the game. That's a man's position. Okay? They play the game how the game is supposed to be played, in my opinion. In my opinion. Like Steven Adams and these guys, Serge Ibaka, Those were the men that you said, okay, those are the big guys, and they're playing a certain game, and then us little guards are out there running around shooting threes and doing whatever. Okay. Now everyone's looks like a guard. So we devalued that. Well, I'm Al Horford. He's like some type of hybrid. You know, he shoots threes and everybody goes, oh, he can shoot. But Al Horford grew up in the era where that's how you
Yeah,
played.
but he's learned to shoot threes. Number one, because of how the offense has changed in the NBA. But number two is to put less strain on his body because at however old he is now, he doesn't want to be banging down low in the box every
No,
single possession down.
but he
He
can do
still
it.
can.
Yes, he can still do it for a series. He could still do that when Giannis and these guys and Joel Embiid he can still do it. That's what I'm saying. Like, play how you have to play. However, when the game reverts back to that, at some point it will. Can you do it? And most of the bigs today can't do it. Most of the bigs today can't get down there. As they like to say, they can't get down there and wiggle when it's time to get down there and start
You know,
wiggling
I saw
around.
something funny yesterday, though. Final possession of the Sixers Raptors game. Sixers down two. Embiid is wide open for a three. And he decides to not shoot the three. And put the ball on the floor to attack the hoop. And I thought, wow, BJ's gonna be really happy. You know, he's not staying for three. Even though it's the right play to make because it wins you the game, I don't know why he went to the line. I think he was trying to get the free throws. But he puts the ball on the floor and he ends up turning the ball over. They lose the game. The decision-making process there was a little. Did you see it? Do you see the play that I'm talking
I
about?
didn't see that. No, I didn't see that
Okay,
game.
go back and watch after this. It was very, very odd. He's done it before in his career as well. And it's like you like to shoot threes. But wide open with a game on the line, why would you not shoot the three? It's pretty interesting.
Maybe he didn't have it going that night. Maybe he didn't feel comfortable.
He
But
didn't feel the rhythm.
yeah, he didn't feel it. But yeah, I'm definitely addressing that. I'm addressing that part of the game for sure. Like, you can't win without it. Like, I don't know how you can win without having at least one or two guys who can play that brand of basketball.
Yeah, well, when you think about it, Celtics won last year. You know, Al Horford can play like
Right.
that. The year before the Nuggets, they had Jokic, who was before the Nuggets. 2022 was the Warriors. They had Kevon Looney,
Draymond can play over
Draymond.
there.
Yep, and then the previous iterations of the Warriors had Bogut, and then they had Zaza Pachulia. And then who was before the Warriors? The Bucks, Giannis, and Brook Lopez.
Yep.
2020, you
And
had
then
JaVale, Dwight, and Anthony Davis.
there's that's what I'm saying.
Raptors have Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka. It's pretty interesting to me that you see it. So that's why I like OKC picking up Hartenstein, but I don't know if Hartenstein by himself will be enough. You might need a little bit more help. But that's the thing with the Lakers signing Alex Len now, is they're hoping he gives them that physicality. But
Listen,
I'll
this is
believe when I see it.
yes, you got to be able to do it. So when I see teams do it, I go, oh, they're actually trying to win. You have to have these guys. You have to have a player or two who can get down there and patrol the paint. That's essential to winning. It's essential. It's like one of those things. You don't win without doing it. You're right. You gotta, whether it's Tim Duncan, whether it's Kevin Garnett, whether it's Shaquille O'Neal, whether it's Bill Cartwright, whether it's Moses Malone, Hakeem Olajuwon, it's more like the Detroit Pistons. It's like one of those things that everyone knows, but everyone seems to neglect it. Like, oh man, the game is changing. No, it's not. It's the same. You just address the issue in today's game, and okay, dress it up how you want to dress it up. Jokic right now, how many people can actually play his style or brand of basketball?
No one.
No one. Okay, so why? Well, how are you going to beat him in a 7-game series? And he's the only one that can make adjustments. It doesn't even make sense to me.
Well, like
Like,
to take him
okay.
out last year, you had to have Gobert, Cat, and Naz Reid. And a cat's not a great defender, but it's still size.
And the guy who drafted him is the only guy in the league that knows that? Wait a minute. The guy who drafted
He built the Denver
Jokic.
Nuggets. Tim Connelly built the Denver
Yes.
Nuggets, left the Nuggets to go to the Timberwolves to build a team to beat the Nuggets. The
Nuggets.
only flaw in his plan is that he anticipated meeting the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. And I'm a Celtics fan, right, B? But I was genuinely worried that if we met the Nuggets in the finals last year, we would lose the finals. Because even as good as Al Horford is, and Porzingis
Jesus.
coming off injury, even if Porzingis is at full health, you're not stopping Jokic, right? So
No.
the only flaw in Tim Connelly's plan was that he thought they'd play the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals and not the semifinals. And then he got to the Western Conference Finals and realized he hadn't built a team to stop Luka Doncic.
I agree. I agree with that. I agree with that. I mean, he Jokic is that good. He is that good. So, but I would address it immediately. I'm addressing that issue with my team. And when the Lakers had JaVale and Dwight Howard, I thought that was just terrific. And
Yeah.
they still never said to why the why. Those two alone, to me, address all of the issues.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense, but I don't know. Maybe there's something we can't see. But
Oh,
those
I like that team.
two,
They had Rondo as well.
I made sense to me.
I don't know. But do you know what I do know? That if you're listening to this, you should subscribe to the Hoop Genius podcast on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple, or wherever you get your podcast from. Because we'll be back tomorrow with more.
Oh.
Well, I think we will. I've got to check my
With a
schedule.
with another one? We'll be back with another one.
Another one. Another one. I mean, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot more to talk about. There's a quick episode there for you today. A special big man edition of the Hoop Genius podcast.
Oh yeah.
Do you know who
Yes.
they should sign, BJ?
Who?
Me. David Roddy. Some physicality. Go get Kenny Lofton Jr. out of China. I think Roddy signed with the
Get
Sixers. Go get Kenny Lofton from China.
Yeah, I'm yeah,
Do you know
I
what? Do you know what? While we're here, I do have to say one thing. Shout out to Jahlil Okafor.
Yes. He
Shout out to
signed with
Jahlil with the
Indiana, right? He
Pacers.
signed
Yeah.
the
Shout out
Pacers,
to
yes. Yeah.
Jahlil Okafor, one of the last remaining post-up bigs we have in this league here in the NBA.
That's been a long time since a player has signed that just, can't shoot threes.
He got 3 minutes last night. Didn't,
Oh, did he?
it was just 3 minutes at the end of the game. The Knicks won. Cat had a great game, 40 points. But I'm excited to see him get some minutes. You know what I mean? Just depending on how the matchups go. Because, okay, you can't shoot the three, but you can give him the ball on the block. He can go get you a bucket. You know who I miss?
Who's that?
Al Jefferson.
Oh wow! Now
The
see, that's
original Big
another
Al.
good guy. See, that's the big Al. See
He's
that?
Big Al. Al Horford is Uncle Al. That's the difference.
If you want to see like just footwork,
Yeah.
his footwork was impeccable. He was. I loved Big Al. I saw Big Al play in high school. If I remember correctly, I think he's from like Mississippi or somewhere. I can't remember.
He played for the
But he's,
Celtics and got traded for Kevin
yeah.
Garnett.
Yeah, but he always could score on the box. Always had footwork, nice touch. And he was another big guy. I love those. I love
Do you know
those
what
type
was
of players.
really cool, BJ? On the weekend, I went to a one-on-one tournament here in London. Where it was some, I say kids. They're probably like 21, 22 playing one-on-one, right? And I've turned up, and there's this kid there, and he looks just like Nikola Jokic. Same haircut, same build, same frame. Obviously not 7 foot tall, but he looks just like Jokic, right? So I go in there, and I say, "Damn, you've got Jokic's son here." And then I watch them play. And he's playing against some kids. They were real good athletes. They got the crossovers, the hezzy tween, the reverse layups, everything. He won the tournament. Just his bulky, awkward style of play. There was one possession, it was uncanny. I'll put it on my Instagram story if anyone saw that. They're playing ones and it's like a shot clock on the ones. He loses possession of the ball, trying to back down his defender. The ball rolls to the corner. He kind of runs over. You know how Jokic runs over to the corner. And the shot we were talking about, Jokic scoring over DeAndre Ayton yesterday. He did that exact same shot from the corner. sinks the three. The crowd rushed the court, and I was just watching it like, Nikola Jokic, have you spent some time in London 18 years ago? Because it was
No,
uncanny, the resemblance.
he
It
would have
was,
been like eight. He would have been like 8 or 10 years old or something like
oh
that.
shit,
Oh, he
yeah.
did.
Yeah, but it was uncanny. It was uncanny, the resemblance. So I think the kid's name was Oscar. Shout out to Oscar. It was weird that he looked like Jokic, but also played like Jokic. And he would have been playing basketball from before Jokic came along. So shout out to him if he's listening or any of his people are listening. That was pretty good.
Hey, can I give a shout out to also one of my favorite players? I don't get a chance to say this, but Bol Bol is one of my
He's starting for the Phoenix Suns now.
no, I want to say this here because I don't want to say it when he Bol Bol, why he's not playing in the NBA. I have a theory for why he's not playing
Okay.
because. And the reason I have my theory is Bol Bol is not playing is because you got to be creative when you watch him play. You got to like say, he's not a center. Yeah, but he's seven, whatever. He's not a power forward. He's not a small forward. He is truly just a player. And you have to be creative when you watch him. Every night, you got to figure out where he can go on the floor. Last night, okay, I just want to read his line. I watched the game last night, right? I was watching Kevin Durant, but I was really watching him because I knew he was starting. He had
18,
18
four
points,
blocks, two
four
steals,
blocks.
14 rebounds, and two assists.
Now, what player in the NBA is
Wemby.
not playing
Oh,
and
not
then can put
playing.
up those type and just
Yeah.
put up those type of numbers
And
casually in 30 minutes?
the game before against the Denver Nuggets, no less, he had 19 points, seven rebounds, and four blocks. The game
Okay.
before, he had 12 points, three rebounds, and three blocks.
Now, I'm challenging all coaches now. Figure out how to use him. I'm not sure how you're supposed to use him, but you got to figure that out. This guy had 18 points, 14 rebounds, and four block shots in 30 minutes.
Has
And
two
he's not even
steals,
your starting, and he's not even your starting center.
but he started.
Okay?
But yeah,
Okay. Figure out how to use this guy. I've been saying this for years.
but
Bol
also,
Bol is an intriguing player to me.
but also, it is kind of, not to discredit Mr. Bowl in any way, shape, or form. This period between the trade deadline and All-Star Weekend, I don't think it is real.
Okay,
I'm not
that's
saying his
fine.
performances aren't real, but so far this season, he's averaging like
That's
34
fine. But
points
let's
a game.
find out.
So I want to see after the All-Star break, can this continue?
Fair. No, but let's find out.
Oh, 100%.
Because if
Well, the
somebody gives me
Suns aren't winning anyway. They may as well. Like,
let's just figure out how he can get
they've won one of
25 to
their last
30 minutes a
five.
night.
And the
Yeah.
one win they had in the last five was overtime against Utah.
I want to see more Bol Bol.
Yeah.
Bol Bol is he's so creative. He's like he would be like every if I could I don't you know I play I play coach in my when I'm watching the game. I would utilize him as a six man, but really just a when I say a six man, like every night I would just figure out. And the only reason I wouldn't start him is because I know I got to move him around on the floor. Like, okay, go check in for Devin Booker. What? Go check in for Kevin Durant. What? Go check in for who's your
Tyus
center?
Jones. Oh,
Jones.
this
Yeah. I
Nick
would check
Richards.
every night. I would
Yeah.
figure out where he could play on the defensive end so that he can just be the best version of himself. The guy gets four block shots. Like, that does something to your defense, okay? But I really I acknowledge I really respect him. I love how he plays. The guy shoots threes. He blocks shots. He holds rebounds and he just holds the ball up in the air. I love that. It's just a, like the rest of he, like he dribbles the ball up the court. He throws behind the back passes to the weak side. I mean, the guy is just so creative. So But I love Bobo. You know, shout out to Bobo. Kevin Durant and Bobo at the power forward and small forward position. I'm all for that. I'm all for that all day. And Bobo is on my 7 foot team.
Yeah, a sixth man.
As my,
Sixth
oh
man
man.
on the 7 foot team.
Can you imagine Giannis, Wimby, Bobo, Mobley on the same team?
No, I can't imagine it, but do you know what I can do? Do you know what I can do?
Kevin Durant. Ugh.
I can make that happen with NBA 2K. Link in the description of this show. Go get yourself a copy if you haven't
Okay,
already.
let's see. Well, can we do that?
We
Oh,
can do that. We
good.
can do that.
Oh yeah.
We can do
Jokic.
that.
Oh, Jokic. Okay. Jokic is the center. Giannis is the power forward. Mobley as the small forward. Kevin Durant is the two. Did I put Wimby out there yet or no? Did I put Wimby?
No.
I didn't put and Wimby as the that's it. So Jokic is the power forward. No, Jokic is the center. Giannis is the power forward. Mobley is the
Maybe.
three. Kevin is the two. Wimby is the point because he's the only guy that
See,
I
I'd have
know.
Jokic
Okay.
running point. You know what I'm saying? Just
Well, you
switch
could.
one in the fire.
Hey, it's
It doesn't
interchangeable.
matter. It
It
just doesn't
doesn't
matter.
matter.
It just doesn't matter.
And then
And
Bobo
then
and then
Bobo off the
Bobo.
bench.
Yeah,
And I'm
that.
putting Jahlil Okafor on the bench too.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you that is see that's the type of team I get excited about. Oh, that would be great. That would be so
We'll do
great.
it. We'll do it. Next time I come to your house, BJ, we'll do it on a PlayStation. And
Okay. That made my day.
we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. That's what they should do at All-Star Weekend. They should do
And
team
we're
big versus team small.
we're shooting threes.
I never thought I'd see
Hey Bo,
the
Bo, and we're shooting threes, you know, and we're shooting threes with this group.
right, all right. All right, B, another episode, another day. I'll catch you very soon. Appreciate you. You guys subscribe to the show. Most importantly, until next time, get buckets.